Now, Sports Talk with Broads. Here's Hunter Brody.
All right, before we talk about that slop fest, if you're new to the channel, make sure you hit that subscribe button and that thumbs up button. We are on the road to 20,000 subscribers, and we break down Philly sports every day in pain, and it hurts and it sucks, but we have to rant, we have to vent somehow. This is how we do it on Twitter, at Broads81. That's my personal Twitter account. Hit the follow button there as well. I greatly appreciate all the support. I love you guys so much, and enjoy the show. What is going on, everyone? Welcome on in to Sports Talk with Broads. Not what we wanted to see. The defense was putrid, and Joe Girardi had a horrendous decision late in the ninth inning, which absolutely played a factor. Not that that was the only reason, okay? Because their defense was embarrassing, and you could just see the difference in two teams, right? You got Phillips out in right field stopping everything from happening. You got Diaz at first base making plays that doesn't even make sense. You get crucial double plays when you need to get a crucial double play. There were two double plays that were so significant for me. Let's get into the second inning. The Phillies have bases loaded with zero outs. Luke Williams grounds out. They get two outs. One run does score, but after that, Randy Arozarena out in left field makes a diving effort catch on Zach Wheeler to rob him from an RBI, which now it's 1-0 when it could have been, what, 2-3-4-0 early against a very good team? That's disgusting. Then you go to the eighth inning. I don't want to jump all two around this early, but I'm going to anyway. Here's Rhys Hoskins with a big bomb in the eighth to tie the game 4-4. Well, what happened before? JT Realmuto gets a single, and Bryce Harper smokes the ball. It stopped. They turn two. That Rhys Hoskins homer was only a solo shot instead of a three-run shot. And who knows what happens then? Who knows how that starts the domino effect of maybe Joe Girardi's decision to go to the bullpen. I hated keeping Zach Wheeler in after the single, after the double. I mean, it was clear as day. It realistically should have been more than just a single for Diaz in the ninth. It should have been a double, but he wasn't hustling out of the box. Joe, come on, dude. And this is a lot different from Aaron Nola starting, because I got all sorts of tweets. I tweeted out, I have no idea what Joe Girardi's doing. Bro, you defended him the last time for keeping in Nola, and you mentioned that Nola and Wheeler you give the nod to. Yeah, you do. You do give the nod. But then at some point, you recognize he's getting shelled. And after the game, Joe just keeps mentioning that he loved this stuff. His stuff was flat in the ninth inning. That was obvious as can be. Love the changeup. Love the cutter. Love what he was working with early. It's everything that we normally see when Zach Wheeler's on the mound. And that's why that he had double-digit Ks. That's why he was magnificent and a star. But in the ninth, everyone and their mother could see it. And don't tell me that that ground ball didn't go over the bag and that was the problem. No, that wasn't the problem. I got no issues with the call. That's one of those calls. Flip a damn coin. I got nothing for you. Did the ref get it wrong? Did the ref? I'm so used to football, basketball, hockey. Did the umpire get it wrong? Maybe. What, do you gotten it right? Maybe. Who knows what happened? Did you see the damn replay? It was so close. That's irrelevant. You had so many reasons why you lost the game other than did the ball go over the bag or did the ball not go over the bag. Bang, bang, play. It is what it is. The baseball gods decided it. All right. Fourth inning. This sloppy baseball team, I swear to God, I can't stand it. Rhys Hoskins gets eaten up at first base. Has to stop that baseball. It cannot get behind him. McCutcheon with the error. I lost the ball in the lights. That's what we're going to hear. It can't happen! This is the Andrew McCutcheon that we saw in the early stage of the year that was basically unplayable. The other day, 0-for-5, 5 Ks. Right now, the ball is hitting him right in his palm, and he's missing it. And to be honest with you, I'm sure it was just because he was in disbelief and he was so disappointed in himself, but the facial expression and the awkwardness of the smile and all, I just didn't like the way it looked. But, you know, Kutch is a pro's pro, and I'd imagine he's so much in shock mode that that actually went down, that it was a sarcastic, painful laugh than anything else. Just a bizarre response, though, from my couch watching what his facial expression was in that instant moment. The shock mode played a factor, I'm sure, though. Rhys then slips and can barely move when you're talking about laterally trying to get a ground ball. So what you witnessed was Rhys Hoskins playing through some pain and battling for the fellas. I admire that, but this is a problem, right? I mean, this is like a legitimate, serious issue. And you can rah-rah him to death and say like, yeah, what a warrior. This guy's epic. This guy's unreal. Yeah, okay. You got to sit the guy down. You cannot continue to trot Rhys Hoskins out there, even with the bomb. I loved the bomb. It was an awesome moment, and it's clear that he's willing to leave his life out for the squad, right? He's being that emotional support. There's a spark in that. The team knowing what he's going through. The team knowing what type of pain he's in. I got you, fellas. We talk about leadership. That is an element of leadership. At the same time, though, you got to start looking at the pros and the cons of this, and it's clear as day that there is an actual, legitimate, serious injury involved where I don't know if trotting him out there every other day, we know the back-to-backs aren't in play, but this is so blatant. And I don't think the mistakes, if we're talking about a big picture here, I know he hit a homer. He's not going to hit a home run every single damn game. But how many mistakes is he going to make at first base due to this injury? I don't know if there was a correlation between the injury and that missed foul ball territory, but that was ugly. Couldn't even get underneath the ball. The ball went behind him, basically. And when Freddie Galvis had an error throw to first base, the way he pulled off the bag quickly, there's a lot of little things happening throughout the game that, you know, it's all part. It really is. It's all part of it. And I don't know, as woohoo hero as it is, I don't believe that it's what's right. You got to, like, the best way to put it is with UFC fighters, the ref is in there for what? The ref is in there to protect the fighters. Sometimes they make bad judgments. Sometimes they make great judgments. They step in there to protect the fighter. That's their number one rule. Well, as a franchise, you have to protect Rhys Hoskins no matter how much he wants to play, no matter how much he wants to beg. And normally we're on the other side, right? We want you to play through this and show everybody your commitment. There's a line, though. We see your commitment, Rhys. We know it's in there. We got you. We also want to protect yourself from yourself, basically. Your competitive fire is going a bit too far right now. So I thought that there was a possible momentum change. And this was in the fifth inning. Wheeler singles. I mean, this guy, I'd keep his bat in the lineup every single damn day the way that he was stroking the back today. He had a couple really nice hits. He got robbed from Randy Rosarena. He had the hit in the fifth inning. Then he smoked one to left field. It was caught, but it was some nice contact, squared up the baseball. Trots back to the dugout, you know, after, like, putting good contact, putting good wood on ball. If I could speak, that would be nice. That is my job. So maybe I can get better at that. Fifth inning, Wheeler singles. Gene hustles to beat out a play at first base. Bryce Harper with a 445-foot bomb. This thing was nuked. This thing was killed. How can you possibly hit a baseball 445 feet? Honestly, think about what that feels like when you drive and make contact in the middle of the zone. I couldn't even imagine what that feeling is like. Explosive. 445? Now you tied the baseball game up. But right after that, you get Zach Wheeler in the following half part of that inning. Or excuse me, that would be the top of the sixth inning. So the next inning. 200 strikeout for Wheeler. On the same exact play of a strikeout throwout down the second where JT Realmuto throws a nice ball. And the tag by Freddie Galvis too. When you see the slow motion as they're going to break. Bang. Perfect. Boom. There's some life in the building. Citizens Bank Park has a bit of juice. Well, that juice died eventually. That juice died eventually. And it really, you think about Zach Wheeler. It goes back to Zach Wheeler in that ninth inning. But here's the problem, right? You talk about the sloppy defense. You talk about the mistakes. It forces Zach Wheeler, even though he kept his pitch count low and he was in a good spot, let's talk about maybe being 12 pitches earlier. And maybe his pitches would not be as flat in the ninth inning if he had 12 or 13 less pitches on his entire pitch count. But that's what happens when you constantly cost your team. When you see the Rays play defense, that's legit, man. I mean, really, Phillips out in right field, a Rosarena making diving plays. We know about his speed. Diaz at first base. Do you see what they do? They make plays, man. They do. They make it happen consistently. They take away runs from you while the Phillies are giving you more. It's night and day. That's the description. The only mistake that sticks out into my head is Diaz not running. Sure, there were some pitches that were not beautiful from the Rays, hence why one went 445 feet. But just all around the way that they're sound. And I thought John Kruk brought up a really interesting part of this too at the crossover during the postgame show. If the Phillies were to have a single that should have been a double late innings, what would happen next? Probably a double play. But what ended up happening up for the race? Kiermaier doubles. Now it's second and third before a backup catcher comes in and annihilates a pitch. 0-2 pitch, may I add. That thing was wow. And Lau's home run earlier off Wheeler, wow. That was a pitch just did not move. Had nothing to it. My point, though, and the point that Kruk brought up, the Rays are constantly going to help their team out. So, you know what? You don't hustle. I got you, though. I got your back. I'll put you on third base. Don't worry about it. Oh, what's that? It's a three-run bomb. Now you're not even really talking about the lack of hustle from first. With the Phillies, though, you turn that into a double play, and now you're going back to the dugout thinking, what if? What did we screw up there? We could have had a man on second. The ground out would have been third. Now you got someone on third, one out. Totally different ballgame. So that's the difference. I love the way the Rays play. I really do. I saw all over Twitter that the way that they use their bullpen and the way that they pitch games is disgusting. How can you possibly like it? They win baseball games. They hang around. Think about this. Honestly, let it digest. They hang around with the Yankees and the Red Sox and look at their payrolls. How do you not get amazed by what they do? I know it doesn't make sense. I'm watching 89 out there, for real. And we used to mock Cole Irvin for 89. Here we go, 89. And it works. And they beat a lot of teams. And right now, they're tearing up the American League. I'm jealous as hell. That's really what it comes down to. I wish I was able to witness this baseball team as my team every single night. So basically, what I'm trying to admit is I am so jealous and I am in so much pain thinking about the difference on a night-to-night basis. We're back in the, oh man, this is torture mode, right? The Braves don't even play, and here you are losing ground. They're off for 2 weird days, and the Phillies are getting swept by the Rays. Here's a stat, by the way, from Bob, who covers the Phillies for Crossing Broad. Innings 1-6 over Zach Wheeler's last 2 starts. He's got a 1.50 ERA. His innings, 7th inning and on, he's got a 30.38 ERA. So he's getting shelled as he gets into the 7th, 8th, 9th inning. Now, a 2-game sample size is not going to blow me away, but it's just noticeable as of late. We talk about how many innings pitched he has. We talk about how deep he goes into games. We talk about his strikeout numbers. Well, why do we reference that? Because he's having a stellar year and he's constantly there. Well, we are getting into the later stages of the season. Is that a reason why maybe 7, 8, and 9 don't look as sharp? Because You're constantly throwing deep in the games, which is what your job is. But I almost feel like he's putting a lot of pressure on himself, knowing that he has to be perfect, or at least making him feel like he has to do everything to the nth degree and emphasize it all because, well, he doesn't have the offense supporting him and he doesn't have the defense supporting him. There's nothing worse than brutal defense, right? Because it's a lack of focus. It's a lack of, I don't know, determination. It's an ugly way to lose. You might lose because your offense is bad and that gets dreadful. And you might lose because your pitching's getting shelled. But those are parts of baseball. And I know defense is a part of baseball. But it's just the sloppiness and the ugliness of professional athletes making these mental and physical mistakes constantly that feels differently than making a mistake on a pitch. Or making a mistake on a swing. Timing being off. They're frustrating, no doubt about it. We bring it up all the time with Alec Boehm and some of these other players. So it still is there in discomfort level. Errors, though, it just reaches a whole new mark. That's for sure. Okay, what else do we have here real quickly before we get to the Anytime Hotline and DraftKings? Franco had 3 hits. This dude's a beast. I mean, he really is a stud. 3 hits, he's smoking it off the wall, off Connor Brogdon. Odubel Herrera's running into the fence. This dude does it all. Here we go. More studs at the age of 20. Just rocking Major League Baseball and making a name for himself. It's ridiculous. I'll never see it unless Dave Dombrowski's new moves open up the whole entire baseball world to the Phils. But it's scaring me that nobody seems to be on the right page. And I guess you can look at it positively. If no one feels the same way about things, you gotta fix that. So knowing that it's all over the map right now, okay, and they're open about it as we're hearing from Dave Dombrowski, but that's not shocking compared to the results that we've been seeing, right? So we knew that. We knew behind the scenes it was a mess. So they're open about it now, and Dave Dombrowski's trying to fix it. I guess there's your optimistic view. There's one way to go. It can't get worse, right? I mean, please tell me it can't get worse prospect-wise. So we can only go in one direction, and given a new, fresh regime, a new, fresh identity is what Dave is trying to do. And what I'm trying to do is tell you about DraftKings Sportsbook. The NFL is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving all new players a can't-miss offer for Week 1. Bet just $1 on any NFL game during the first week of the season and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. Take advantage of this limited-time offer now. You heard right. DraftKings is giving all new players $200 in free bets instantly when you place a bet of $1 or more in any Week 1 game. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and use promo code BROADS to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any Week 1 game. That's promo code BROADS to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, you know the deal. Let's hear from you. The Anytime Hotline, 856-442-9805 is the phone number to climb in after games are over if you want your voice to be displayed here on Sports Talk with Broge. All right, let's kick things off right now.
Bro, I don't know what I just saw. What possible explanation could Girardi have for leaving Wheeler out there in the ninth? The ninth. After already giving up four runs, did everybody in the bullpen get shot at the same time? I need to lay down. I don't know what that was, but we're back to five games back now, so this is fun.
You know what else is funny? They're 500. This team is built to be 500. They will always be in that 500 range. It's so ridiculous. It's like they're a magnet, right? 500 is a magnet, and they're just getting sucked back. No matter how much they go away, eventually that magnet just gets sucked back together, and that's the Phillies in 500 baseball. They are the duo. You talk about peanut butter and jelly. You talk about the best duos of all time. Well, damn it, the Phillies and 500 baseball is a duo that's at the top of the damn list. Because they're constantly glued together every single year. I don't know what Joe was thinking. In the ninth, you give him the nod, and then you see the single and the double, and it should have been two doubles in a row, and you just stick with him, and then an 0-2 pitch gets crucified. What are we doing, Joe? And it's not the same as last time. You think about the pitchers in the pen that were ready to rock. When Nola was in the game against the Padres, by the way, it was a 3-1 lead with two outs. This game was tied 4-4 in the ninth inning. So it's not even close. And I do mean this. I thought Aaron Nola was crisper, which isn't a knock on Zach Wheeler, even though Zach Wheeler had some nasty stuff. But Aaron Nola's start was money, and that was really sensational. And the difference between the two, though, is, well, the bullpen. When Aaron Nola was starting, you had to worry about what Hector Neris threw the night before. You had to worry about what happened with Ian Kennedy, who threw 30 pitches. So, well, what do we do with that bullpen? This was totally different. And this ties together with where Dave Dombrowski is right now with the analytical world versus the gut feel. What does Joe Girardi do? I honestly would love to know. Is it gut one night and analytics the next? You need to have an idea. You need to have a concept. What are your beliefs as a team? And it seems it's not one or the other. It's all over the map. You need to come together as an identity and say, what do we do? What do we want to believe in? How do we want to operate? Not, well, Matt Moore, six innings, no hit ball, but it's Matt Moore. Let's use analytics to go to the bullpen and then just force Zach Wheeler out there basically blindfolded. I trust my aces of the staff, the number ones, the number twos, more than I do anybody else. But then there's a line where you just go into stupidity. There's a line where you just cross it and you're not even using baseball knowledge anymore. You're just being dumb because of who that pitcher is. There's times to be dumb and times to be, I mean, there's times to be aggressive, but there's a line where you become a dumb decision maker in a moment. And that's what happened with Joe Girardi. There. All right, let's take the next call.
What's up, man? Another sweep. I think that's two sweeps and three series. I know this team cares, but, like, this, they are playing, every single game they play means something. You go, you look and you see these teams that are leading division and they're up by, like, 10 games. It's like them playing every game to those players must be really boring knowing that it doesn't really mean anything. But for the Phillies, they should be having fun. They should be having a lot of fun knowing that every single game they play is so important. That should be fun to them. That's baseball. That's the sport. That's every sport. It should make it really fun for them.
So I'll push back a little bit. If you think about being 10 games up in a division, that's not boring, trust me. You love going to the ballpark every day. You're a good baseball team. You're going to be seeing playoff baseball. You have a championship on your mind, right? Trust me, that's not boring. Oh, let's just go to the ballpark today and do whatever and not have fun. Like, no, they're going to love it. The clubhouse is great vibes, great energy. High-fiving all the time, hitting home runs, trotting around the bases. Pat Barn, right? You're probably having a phenomenal atmosphere at home. The crowd's going crazy. The city's behind you. I understand where you're coming from, though, where pressured moments make sports more intense and the better players rise, and you're fighting for something. You want to compete at a high level. The difference, though, is you're not good. You're not good. That's why they're coming up small. That's why they're not having fun. They're not a good baseball team. They lack fundamentals. They make mistakes all the time. They cost themselves because they shoot themselves in the foot a lot of times. That gets tiring. Over 162, it settles in. All right, we have to stop pretending something else is in here. This defines the Phillies. And we somewhat knew that. Dave Dombrowski made that very, very known early on. Basically admitting that they're built through their offense and defensive woes is going to be a theme that you see with this team, but it's how much you can score to make up for those mistakes. Well, guess what? It's not enough. That's for damn sure. It's not even close to being enough. And the defense is so ugly, you thought it was just going to be whatever. No, no, no. It's like, let's vomit. Let's throw up in Jetro next to my car. Or maybe next to the porta potty as I'm walking to the Wells Fargo Center or Citizens Bank Park through Jetro. Pathetic. Makes me sick. So that's why, to answer your question, why aren't they having fun? Why can't they just have fun? Because they're not good. They're not good. If you were a competitive team fighting for the division lead, and because you're two good teams, Giants, Dodgers, all right, whoever wins the division, you know, you could tip your cap to them and say, all right, well, I'll see you down the road. All right, maybe we'll see each other down the road here. But you guys, you know, you both earn being there. Compared to you just hanging around because nobody truly took possession of the division. It's two different feels for sure. All right, what's next here?
Well, there you go. Got swept by the best team in the American League. But then again, it was the best team in the American League. You got to brush this side. You got a really bad team for four in your barn. Which brings me to the question I wanted to ask you, Brad. Do you agree with Girardi with leaving Zach Wheeler out there for the ninth inning? Or
no, not at all. Absolutely not. I don't believe in it whatsoever. So for me, I just think he lost his damn mind in that moment. And that's not the only reason why you lost. We've referenced this a bunch of times throughout this game. While that made an impact, you talk back to that second inning. where you had the bases loaded, no outs, right? I mean, you've seen so many problems with this baseball team early on, scoring runs. What's the big deal between 1-0 and maybe 5-0 early? Oh, okay, a ton, a lot, an insane amount. Let's say 3-0. The Rays are good. They're going to climb back. They're going to fight back. Lau's going to hit a homer. Randy Arozarena's going to hit a dribbler. They're going to do some hit-and-run action. They're going to play some small ball. They're going to take runs away from you defensively. They're still going to do all of that. But there's a big difference from, all right, hey, we lost last night. We got Wheeler on the bump. Let's go. We got a 3-run lead for our guy. Let's go. Come on, Joe. Now, you call often. This is a common caller, and I can't appreciate that enough. I just want to throw out there that for me personally, and you're entitled to your own opinion, and I love hearing everybody's opinion, so continue to call in, continue to share how you feel. I'm just not on the same page. Let's see what happens against the Diamondbacks. Well, you know, that's all great and dandy, but you just got swept by the Diamondbacks in Arizona. You're telling me that we're now, what, going to be okay with a series win, 3 wins against the Diamondbacks in a 4-game set? Isn't that just even? Isn't that just washing each other out? And even if they sweep them in a 4-gamer, you're still just evening it out at the same time because of how ugly that was. You know what washing out means? 500. You know what this baseball team is? 500. You know what the best duo in sports is? 500 Phillies baseball. So you're basically getting, if they are to do that, that's even if they are to do that, they could go 2-2. They could split that series. They could go 1-3. They might get swept. I would love to see their mental makeup, though, because they know. They haven't forgotten. It is a fresh wound right now. So they know there's pressure on them to complete this job. And there's really only one answer. 4-0. And even going 4-0 won't really move the needle for anybody. But that's your only answer right now. It starts there. And after that, you take a step in a different direction. All right, let's take another one.
Well, after tonight's loss against the Rays, it got me thinking that maybe we should be using the closer a bit more. But I can understand, you know, with Zach Wheeler, he pitched a pretty good game, that maybe you could keep him out there. But in a tied game at around 100 pitches, you know, his workload has been quite a bit this year. So maybe after Aaron Nola and after Zach Wheeler, I think we should maybe go to the bullpen a bit more because it has been a lot more passable as of late. But
yeah, you're absolutely right. They created this new role for specific players, and they kind of found who they're supposed to be back there. It doesn't work every night. Archie Bradley the other night got shelled, but he put together so many good performances in a row. He was due for a hiccup. That was his hiccup. But for the most part, you know, they have learned who they are with Hector Neris not closing, Ian Kennedy closing, Archie Bradley being a late guy. It's been really fantastic. So you would think you would rely on that, knowing the usage rate for Zach Wheeler for so many innings now. It was going to come down at some point. And you saw how flat it was. You really did. You saw the flat pitches. You saw how they were just being left over the plate. And after the first two batters, you stick with it. It really is disappointing from Joe's angle there. It's a lot of innings for Wheeler to this point. They're 0-6 in their last Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler starts, by the way. Unacceptable. I just got a text message from Mike Gill of 97.3 ESPN. I used to make fun of him all the time because he watches this disgusting show called My Feet Are Killing Me, and he just sent me this foot of like a filthy, I don't even know what this is. I can't believe he watches this garbage. But I responded with, you sicko, looks better than the Phillies defense though. And I'm not wrong with that assessment. That is baseball assessment. That's why you guys come to this show. Because I just give it to you how it is. Here we go, last caller.
I can't believe I'm saying this. It hurts my soul that I'm saying this. But Gabe Kapler is laughing at us right now. Joe Girardi is clearly overmatched in Philadelphia, where Gabe Kapler is most likely going to win manager of the year, and he is currently managing the best team in baseball. And that team he's managing has nowhere near the talent on paper that the Phillies have. This is absolutely embarrassing, and he is probably cracking his ass off in the yoga studio he's currently in.
So you're basically seeing a 40-game over 500 San Francisco Giants team. I have to give credit to Gabe Kapler. I believe that he really took the knowledge that he got in Philly and went to a different city and a different team and applied what he did wrong, changed himself as a manager. I heard from people who are deep inside the Phillies who said, look, it was a problem here. What he's doing in San Francisco is great and all, but it did not work here. He did not connect at all with this clubhouse, and he was fresh. He was new. He didn't really know how to handle himself at the majors. It seemed he kind of worked at it, and, you know, in a non-weird way, right? Like, you look at Gabe Kapler, you see a dude who's jacked, who's in the gym. Right? Like, he's got this mentality of, you know, competing against himself, getting bigger. Like, he's wired in that way from this competitor, like athletic bodybuilding standpoint. I think he applied that to his managerial decisions where it's like, I'm going to win this battle against managing. Like, I'm going to prove that I'm a good manager. I'm going to change, tweak. I'm going to study. I'm going to do everything I can, just like he does in the weight room to get bigger. He does that. Like, that's a character trait is what it is. And I think that's one of the reasons why. Look, you can give Gabe Kapler a lot of credit, but the team is playing well. That's why they're 40 games, almost 40 games, over 500. With or without Gabe Kapler there, that team's winning a lot of games. Why? They're ran very well from up top. They know what they're doing in the inside of their organization. They're making moves at the deadline. That's like, what? What are we doing here? Savvy moves. It's just very well executed from the top down. With Joe, I don't like what he's done this year. It's been bad. But I always go back to this at the end of the day. We fired Joe. Let's just say, hypothetically, we fired Joe. We fired Gabe. What are we going to do? Fire the next two until the franchise has better players? Because that's the problem. The players aren't good enough. On paper, off paper, I don't give a damn. I'm telling you, the players are not good enough. That's why Joe Girardi looks like a slob more times than not. With Joe's options and choices, yeah, sometimes he fumbles the bag. But guess what? It doesn't have a lot of options. You're playing Brad Miller, Tereus, Freddie Galvis. Like, think about what you're trotting out there consistently. Tereus, look, I love it and all, but come on. Freddie Galvis, Brad Miller, McCutchen can barely play anymore. Odubel Herrera, best option at center field. Still not a great option. So we're going to keep firing managers until the roster is actually good. And then you'll be happy with whatever manager's in there at the time who gets luckily paired together with the roster that's rebuilt, if it ever does get good again. And that doesn't take Joe off the hook. I thought he sucked tonight, and he sucked this season in general. You give him good players, though, I think it turns out differently. The Yankees hate Aaron Boone. They love Aaron Boone. They hate Aaron Boone. They love Aaron Boone. When do they love Aaron Boone? When they're winning 11 straight. When do they hate Aaron Boone? When they're losing a bunch of games. What's different? The players are executing. You can make bad decisions with a good team. It happens, but the players are the number one reason for me, even after a night like this. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody so much for hanging out. Hit that thumbs up button, subscribe. You are the best, and I will see you next time.